inspiring interviews, provocative people. Get ready. Get bold today with your Emmy-winning host, LeGron Green.
I'm LeGron Green, and this is Bold. And this is the place where we discuss shift in our lives, where shift happens, and we talk to people who are influencing the way we live, laugh, and love out loud. My guest today is Wendy Michaels of WendyMichaels.net. Welcome to Bold, Wendy.
Hi, LeGrand. Thank you for having me. I just love shift happens.
Yes, shift,
I just love that.
Shift does happen, and shit does too.
I totally get that. I would love to see that in a bumper sticker.
Well, what's happening in the shift in your life, Wendy? We had a pre-interview discussion about God, elephants, and the creative process. Now, how do those three things even go together?
Well, that it's so interesting because about a year and a half ago, I was at a place where I was kind of stuck and not sure of the next direction, but I just kept showing up, meaning that I just kept taking the next right step. And I am a captive elephant activist, and what that means is I'd like to see elephants that are in circuses and zoos be free, in a nutshell.
Well, I know, because I see Wendy, you see you on Facebook, and you're always talking about that. And just to give you a little background on Wendy, she's an acclaimed actress who is acting on stage right now in Los Angeles. But this is her passion she's talking about here. And here on Bold, we like to talk about the nitty-gritty. And the nitty-gritty, we say every single episode, it's about stepping not outside your comfort zone, but stepping into your own power, into those things that truly empower you and excite you. And apparently, elephants excite Wendy Michaels.
Well, you know, what a great great introduction. Elephants, I did not know they excited me. Actually, I went to see a play called Speaking Elephants by Terry Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, a friend of mine was in the play, and it was the true story of Wanda and Winky, which were two elephants that were at the Detroit Zoo, and they were sent to sanctuary. And the play told the story from the point of view of the elephants. The actors dressed up as, like, semi-looking elephants.
Okay.
And spoke as elephants. And I was so moved, LeGrand, by that story that I couldn't move. I mean, literally, like, went home and went, what? I had no idea that captivity looked like that. And captivity not only for elephants, but captivity in my own life, you know, where my own self-imposed captivity and captivity by relationship, captivity by being stuck, et cetera. So it all just kind of tied in at that time. And I began working on behalf of captive elephants. I find out, I'm sitting in my living room one day, Rod, and I have this comforter that I bought for my nephew. He's turning 28 this year, when he was about 2. And I've carried it around with me. I've moved hundreds of times, it feels like. And I've carried this comforter with me because it was so special. It belonged to my nephew, and it was a time in my life that was really special. So wherever I moved, whatever I did, I always kept the comforter out. It did not go in storage. So I'm sitting in my living room about a year and a half ago, and the comforter is laying on the floor because my cats like to play with it. And I'm talking on the phone casually, and I look over at the comforter, and I notice for the first time in, 28 years, 26 years, that around the bottom of the comforter is a ring of elephants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Never noticed it before. So I said, definitely going to elephants play a part in my life. Now, we flash forward to 2013, the beginning of that year, and I go back to the beginning of my story where I say I'm kind of stuck and not knowing what the next right step is. And I kind of hear this voice a quiet one-sentence voice that says, make this the year of the artist.
The year of the artist. The year of the artist. Okay, we got following so far.
So I'm thinking, no, I can't. I got to make money. I live oceanfront in this condo, and I drive a luxury car, and I can't make this the year of the artist. And then I thought, why can't you? That's what you love. So I took a bold step and did not pursue any more. I'm also a consultant for physicians. That's my money job.
And we all have to pay the bills.
I have to pay the bills. And I decided that I would take a leap of faith, a bold leap of faith, and listen to that voice. And so I sold my car, my Volvo, and my sister said, you can use my car. And got a website together, got some reels together, et cetera, et cetera. I wasn't working as an artist. I was just preparing to work as an artist with nothing in front of me that said I was going to return to being an artist.
Well, yes.
So I just...
I'm going to pause you there because I know Wendy personally, and I know she's, like I said, she's a phenomenal actress, but there was a time in your life where you were, like you said, I love what you just said. I was preparing to be an artist. I was preparing. And I think we all spend so much time sometimes talking about what we're going to do and thinking about what we're going to do, and there's a place for all that. But there's also a time, as Wendy's saying to us today, to be bold, and there is a time to actually, as my grandmother used to say, quite crassly, but we've all heard it before, got to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, and that was my moment. That really was my moment. And as I move forward, I didn't. Now, this was January. I got this obscure message.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, the end of August. My church was gracious and said, you know, we need help at church camp. We'll pay you for it. And I was like, great. Broke my little toe right before I did it. So I worked at church camp with a boot on my leg. And I'm like, okay, all right, God, I'm continuing to move forward. Boot and all. So here it becomes September, and I'm online. And I see an audition, and the name of the play. Dun, 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 dun. Are you ready for this?
Are we ready for the wonderful play on words? Go ahead, Wendy.
Aspirins and Elephants.
Aspirins and Elephants.
That's the name of the play. And I said, okay, got it. So I looked, and it was Santa Monica Playhouse in L.A. I'm living, you know, on the East Coast. And it happened to be with a playwright and a artistic director that I'd worked with before, so I emailed them immediately, and I said, I want to audition. I'll fly out there. They said, you don't need to fly out. That's too expensive. Just, you know, audition on tape and send it to us, which I did. And a week later, they said, congratulations. Welcome to Aspirins and Elephants. So I had a week to rent my condo, find a place for my animals, which I did, move everything into the closet so that I could rent it,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't move out. And fly across the country, and find a place to stay in L.A. and get a car, and it all happened within a week.
Well, there's that famous quote that when we make a commitment to something, when we commit, that's the bold step. The boldness is in the commitment. We don't have to know what's going to happen, but it's scary.
It's not comfortable. It's not a very comfortable way to live, and I do have to say that. I could not do it alone. I mean, not only did I do a lot of prayer and on my knees, but I also surrounded myself with a few select people that believed in me and loved me. And I don't, you know, I used to do things alone. I used to think, you know, if I ever make it as an actor, they're going to say, just me. you know, the vision of accepting an Oscar and being on stage once.
Oh, wait,
I'd like to thank me.
I love that. I wish someone would do that.
Well, I mean, you know what? It rarely, if ever, is you are alone.
It never is
you
alone.
You think you might be.
It never is you alone, ever.
Exactly. So, fortunately, I'm not that person that I was 20 years ago, and I'm learning to ask for help and discern which people are cheerleaders. And I surround myself, I try to surround myself with cheerleaders. And so, that play was extended for a couple of months out here, and Then I got cast in a second play, which I'm in now, called Two Across, with the co-star that I was in the previous play, and again at the Santa Monica Playhouse. And so now the boldness comes in, LeGrand, because I have the play that I'm in now has been extended through December, and I still live on the East Coast. So I feel like I have September to find a job, another money job,
a car,
and an affordable place to live to continue on this path. There you go.
Well, it seems to be all unfolding. I mean, and you're trusting the process, which, like you said, is not a comfortable place to be. And no one ever said that being bold or being making these decisions are, they're not necessarily comfortable. And I think the biggest lesson I've learned over the years is that you just have to move forward into that scary place, because you're never going to have all the answers. You know, things have never fallen into place like we think they will. So they rarely fall into place like we think that, you know, we need A, B, C, D, and E in order to do F. Life's not like that.
I would agree with you. And I would also add that it never comes from the places I think it's going to come from. I mean, I've done vision boards before, and they're wonderful exercises in really kind of understanding what it is your soul wants, because I do believe that my higher power speaks through my soul. But it never comes from where I think or in the time frame.
Oh, no, it never comes. It never comes in the time frame. I've learned that lesson, you know.
It's a hard lesson to learn, because I certainly have a Santa Claus list of, okay, now, in the next 5 years, this is my vision, and I would like it to look like this, and I would like it to happen along these time frames. And the danger in that is, like, after a year, if A, B, and C hasn't happened because I had it down for it to happen, then I give up, or I get angry, or I get desperate. And I was told once, and it really, really stayed with me, and I was told by a minister that my God wants me living an abundant, happy, joyous life. And that changed me, because that gave me permission to be loved, basically. And it's a lot easier. I don't have to orchestrate the entire world. You know what I mean? I don't have to orchestrate it. Yeah. Which I love to do. I do love to do that. I do love to be the director of all. But
well, that's the thing I think about goals, and goals are wonderful. I'm not demonizing goals and saying you shouldn't set goals and shouldn't have priorities, but there's something deeper going on there. I know when I have set goals, I have moved away from so much goals. I used to do a lot of affirmation work, and I would say the thing, and I'd say it loudly, and I'd say it 100 times a day, and still nothing happened. And as Wendy says, you know, you can get to a point where you give up. But I have now moved into, if I'm going to do what, and affirmations out there for people who may not know what they are statements of expectancy, or statements of acknowledgement of who you really are, you know. And a lot of people do the basic ones, like, you know, I am this, and I'm going to be, you know, be having $1 million by 5 years, or whatever the case may be. And then there's the spiritual affirmations where you affirm yourself as part of God's work, or how are you going to do that. But the real power of affirmations is in the energy behind it. It's not about just saying it. It's about actually feeling it and being it. And before it happens.
Yeah, and I do have to say that in the process of moving towards whatever I happen to be moving towards at certain times in my life, I would very often just put on blinders and say, it's about what I get when I get there. And I would get it. There's no question. I would get my goals, and then I'd land there and I'd go, well, this isn't my intended feeling. I mean, this isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's create a bigger and better goal. And then I'd get that, and I'd be like, well, you know, it's like this sense of perpetual emptiness. And
I'm learning. Believe me, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm learning that it really is in the day. Those small steps of joy and struggle and challenge and love in the day are what make your life. That's your life. I've gone periods where I've worked and worked and worked towards something for 1 or 2 years, and my life has gone by.
Wow. Yeah. So, and you look up and, yeah, I've done that as well, because I looked up sometimes and go, okay, this, like, back to goals, something happened, or I think I'd want something to happen, and it did happen, but it happened, like, 3 times longer than I thought it was going to. or working on projects or things that just take longer. You've got to be gentle with yourself. Your time schedule is just your time schedule, not actually reality. So, Wendy, tell us about more elephant signs in your life.
More elephant signs. Yeah. I saw online, can I be specific with an elephant?
Sure. I mean, I love this. I mean, I've never thought about elephants. My grandmother loved elephants. She used to collect elephant figures and had elephants around. But she's the only person I know who was drawn to elephants. I've never thought about elephants, really. So when you're talking about the captivity issue, and I so clearly saw, I felt what you were saying earlier, Wendy, about the play and the feeling that energy of captivity, and thinking about the images in the media of elephants, and, you know, you think about Dumbo and, you know, the, you know, those kind of things in the mass media. And elephants who are in captivity, it's such a sad existence. And when you tied it into your own captive, keeping yourself a captive, I felt that. I truly felt that.
Thank you for saying that. Elephants, I had no idea, just like you, they were Dumbo, big pictures and big floppy ears and beautiful creatures. And, you know, the average time someone spends watching an elephant in a zoo is 45 seconds. That's it.
I never thought about that, but that makes sense, because when you're going to the zoo, it's, you know, that's why zoos are so sad, I mean, to me, because these animals, creatures are tied up, or, I mean, or they're for a show. It's like, that's not what they're here to do.
Well, we do have some pretty progressive zoos in this country,
yeah.
Although I'm not a fan. I will say that we do have some pretty progressive zoos. I think Oakland Zoo out in San Francisco is one where the animals are no longer in cages. They have a lot more open space.
Right.
There's a conservation effort going on, and people can go online and look that up. But in particular, animals, I think our consciousness is changing about the way we view animals. But elephants in particular have the same, very similar emotional life to humans.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they grieve. They actually grieve, and can be shown to grieve. And there's some elephant experts out there. You know, there's Paw Sanctuary and the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee are two United States sanctuaries devoted primarily to elephants, that they have found that they grieve, that they make friends, that they herd. The female elephants stay in a group for life. The males kind of jet off. But the reason captivity is so hard on elephants is because they walk approximately anywhere from 30 to 40 miles a day. So when they're captive,
really? I didn't know that.
Yes, they forage for food and they wander, and they're big. They're heavy. They're 10,000 pounds. So if you take a 10,000-pound elephant and ask it to stand in one place, you're going to have severe arthritis and foot problems and digestive problems. And they don't sleep for very long. They'll sleep in 30 to 45 minutes at a time. Otherwise, they'll crush themselves. They'll suffocate themselves. So all of this comes into play, which most people don't know while they are in a zoo. So here I am going along, becoming more and more interested in elephants. And the more progressive idea of having an elephant in captivity but allowing its freedom is seen at these two sanctuaries. You can actually go online and watch them in their natural habitat, which is really wonderful. Elephants are so fun. They are fun-loving, generous-spirited, intuitive, giving mammals. And that's starting to be discovered. So Nosy the Elephant is an elephant that is in a circus and had 33 animal welfare violations in December 2011.
Okay.
The USDA went out because they're the governing body over wildlife, exotic wildlife, and they went out and they cited the owner of Nosy the Elephant with 33 animal welfare violations, and it was set to go to trial, was postponed, and then it was settled out of court for $7,500, and the owner got to keep Nosy. She's in the spotlight now. She hit the Huffington Post last week, and I've been following her. I actually went and videotaped her secretly.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm.
I did. Not the secret now, but I got some really great video from her. You know, giving elephant rides is really hard on an elephant's back and feet, and it's dangerous because they're captive, so it's like they have repressed rage. I always say to people, how do you think you can get a 10,000-pound elephant to do something?
Right, you know.
Yeah, when you want it and how you want it. So I just am, my purpose and my passion has become about captive wild elephants, LeGron, and the fight to get them out of zoos and circuses. And I think that that was a result of being shown that. I had no idea that it would show up in my life. Until that play,
and the whole metaphor of the size and the giant, I'm making up a word, the giantness, giant, the size of the elephant and what that meant for you metaphorically in your life. We're having a big thunderstorm here where I am. But I wanted to just say, Wendy, so as we close here, what do you want us to know about your journey with God and elephants and you?
I really am finding that when I am of service and quiet, I live the most serene, peaceful, joyous life. I had a friend tell me about 10 years ago that it really was about service. And I thought, service? Yeah, right.
I'm not going to get
about that.
I'm not even after no service.
Yeah, all right, you know. I'll go down to the church once a year. But things have happened in my life over the last 10 or 11 years that have brought me to a different place. And all of the things that I thought I wanted and needed are not what I really needed. You know. So in closing, I would just like to thank you, my gifted, talented, glorious, light-filled friend, LeGron. Extremely talented. I'm so glad we met. And we met synchronistically as well. And here we are. I don't know how many years later, a lot of years. I wish you all the best with this show, and I know it will be a success.
Well,
and you're being of service as well.
Well, I do feel I'm of service, and just providing a voice for myself, but like when I say myself, it's not myself, it's my big letter S self. And this show, Bode, is an opportunity to have voices diverse like yours and from all different stripes and rainbows and colors and sizes and viewpoints come here and share, sometimes loudly, sometimes softly, like Wendy Michaels has shared today from her heart. So Wendy, you can find Wendy at wendymichaels.net, and as always, we encourage you to join the conversation at getboldtoday.com. You can tweet us. You can Facebook us at getboldtoday. And we want you all to be a part of the burgeoning movement that's happening, that's inspiring us to live and be the shift. I'm LeGron Green, and this is Bold.